is on the faculty here, and Brother Madden has a gruff voice, and you think you know that he's a bear, but really, beneath that veneer, there is a pussycat. And really, he's not as rough as he sounds like, because if he were as rough as he sounds, he wouldn't be over here, or you wouldn't be here. But because he loves the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the truth, and loves young preachers and their wives and Christian workers, he's here doing what God would have him to do in our service. Brother Madden, come and speak to us. Just preach, don't rebuttal.
I think, Brother Patterson, we owe the student body, especially Brother Campbell, an apology, because the other day, the part you mentioned about the faculty asking for a raise or something like that, we understood that there was a difference between the faculty and staff. He says that stuff belongs to the staff. Well, the staff got raises, weren't it? Something was fixed up for the staff to get a raise, but not the faculty. So if we've been using the wrong coffee, we should apologize. Yeah, I didn't eat breakfast this morning either. Don't watch your head for it, don't you? That's an indication. Well, I have a sermon worked out here. I'm getting spread out. Well, I don't have to move it later. This is one of those unusual occasions here. I got a sermon. In the book of Revelation, the first chapter, 12 through 16, the text shall be taken this morning. The church, however, is the subject. I don't know of a better subject to preach a little concerning the church. Well, that's the first love. It has to be because the body of Christ. And you can ask that pussycat of mine who works for pennies over there at Fullerton. He asked her, Brother Patton brought her up, I didn't. And she'll tell you that the first love of this one is the church. And she's as jealous as any other woman will be when they discover your first love is the church. That's normal. Don't expect anything else. She told me the other day, why don't you move your bed down there? I said, don't tempt me, woman. But then she had a withdrawal right quickly, because our bed is a king-size bed given to me for my birthday by the church of Wasco when I was there. You see, I take my bed down there, hers goes too. She has to take the couch. All right. Let's look at the church as John saw the church. It's beautiful, real beautiful. John, of course, was on the Isle of Patmos. He was exiled from other people, possibly, who he knew. And we don't find him complaining, saying, I don't have it so good here, you know. I'm in exile. The other brethren are not out here. John, you look at the silence of John on Patmos, preacher, great sermon. You put into your mind the things John could have said in that condition. You preach yourself a great message, one that needs to be pastored. But he was in exile, and verse 10 said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Heard something. That's normal when one is in the Spirit of truth. Hear something, everybody. And in verse 12, and I turned, he said, to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a white garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. Now here John has a vision of the church, but he sees it beautifully. He doesn't see the bad aspects of the church. The Lord, in fact, had to write letters and send to the seven churches of Asia explaining the bad things of the church. But the Lord was the one who pronounced the bad things on the church. John saw it beautiful. Beautiful. And he described it as he saw it. And so, a great factor here would be for us to note that John saw the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as she had been promised. Matthew 16 and 18, the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. And he saw her in purity. He saw her as a light bearer. He saw her as one who holds the light and shines as the light in darkness. In gold, which is symbolic of purity. In the number seven, which is symbolic of perfection. Let us examine a little carefully to be sure what John saw. I don't go for types and anti-types too much because I don't have sense enough. Lots of people have sense enough to type things out. Boy, they make types of everything, and it's beautiful to listen to. Some of it sounds even logical, but it takes a little more brain than I used to good now. But in my older years, I've become dumber and dumber. I just don't know nearly as much as I did at one time. And I hope it doesn't affect you that way, age that is. But John, first of all, the emphasis is laid in this point on candlestick. John saw the candlestick. Emphasize the word candlestick. This is an instrument for holding or being a receptacle light. Now, for a few seconds, look at yourself from the standpoint of the tabernacle, and you're standing inside, and the doors are closed, and the only possible light would have to come from the candlestick. If the doors were closed, there was absolutely no possible light to enter in the tabernacle. But the light depended solely and entirely upon the candlestick. And it had to be placed inside the tabernacle. God ordered it there.
Amen.
I would to God we would keep that in mind when we study the Lord's church and her significance. Watch it, fellas. The only light that came out of that tabernacle was by word of mouth, by the priest of God, to the people who took it around. Please keep that in mind. God ordered it that way. Man didn't have anything to do with it. Neither does man have a right to take the holder of the light of the world out of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man doesn't have that right. He doesn't have the right to organize a similar type of organization. God never grants that right. He organized exactly what he wanted in himself as Jesus Christ while he was on earth. And the reason other forms of religion have any truth in them at all is because somebody has kept the truth down through the ages. To shine in darkness, to be sure. Well, so much for that. The church is seen as the depository of sacred life. Look in Matthew 5:14 through 16. You are the light of the world. You go ahead, study this out. A city that is built upon a hill cannot be hidden. Neither does a man light a candle and stick it under a bushel. And now, let your light therefore shine before men. Now, Jesus was speaking to a following people who were following him. They were not out plowing. They were not out fishing. They were not out collecting taxes. They had indeed forsaken these secular activities and were following the Lord. And it was they who Jesus said would become fishers of men. And the church, Paul said, was built upon the prophets and apostles and Jesus Christ himself. And so keep this in mind. The light comes from the authoritative source of God. You are the light of the world, not just any thing that comes along with the light. He had a specific group that he was referring to at that time. You are the light of the world. In other words, you are going to accept the teachings that I give you. And when I leave, on the 14th chapter of John, give you a comforter, that's the Father to at least, who will bring back to your remembrance all of these teachings I've spoken unto you. And on the day of Pentecost, Simon Peter was no more confused. Amen. He had the baptism of the promised Spirit that comforted him with these facts that Jesus had been speaking of, and he stood and he preached the Old Testament. That's right. First gospel that was preached from the Old Testament. Plenty of it there. The Jews knew the gospel. It had it all along. Had just been rejecting it. He preached from Joel, then he preached from David, and then he brought them up to that present time, having crucified with wicked hands the Son of the living God. But God was not willing that he remain dead, but raised him up. And they, being pricked in their hearts, said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" They heard some Old Testament brought back to their remembrance. All right. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the pillar of ground of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Ground of truth. Now, the resident of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16, is the church, the body of Christ. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, the temple of the Holy Ghost is referring to the physical body there. Definitely does. But they are they who are in the church at Corinth. And still refers back to it First Corinthians 3:16, and nobody, not the Greek nor the King James Version, can argue that it is the fact of the church. Just can't do it. Might try. But that doesn't limit salvation by grace through faith, through the convicting power of the Spirit, for crying out loud, that's the purpose of the church, to shine into the world. The Spirit of God is not restricted in any way, except to a cold heart, one that can quench him. Still, you have to answer to it.
Amen.
In misery.
Amen.
Misery. He is not. That's the reason God's Spirit, he isn't tied to time, to place, only condition. Only condition will he not penetrate. And so that's the heart of man. But the church is the resident, being the resident of the Holy Spirit. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I saw the seven golden candlesticks. Be careful, folks. The place of spiritual manifestation. 1 Corinthians 2:9-13. That's the place of spiritual manifestation. Let's read that. I want this to be understood before we go any further. It must be understood. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. But as is it written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that a beautiful passage? The place of spiritual manifestation. Not the place of the Spirit to be restricted, but for manifestation of the Spirit. There's where it comes from. And second, under this sight of John as he looked at the candlesticks, he looked at it from the standpoint of the church as a, or the, diffusion of light. What is a candlestick? Study it. It receives light to shed abroad. Receives light to shed abroad. God says to Zion, Isaiah 60:1-3, arise and shine. Zion is spoken of as the mount of God. Many other places, the hill of God. In the New Testament, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel was said, spoken to of God when God said to Zion, arise and shine. Shine. That's your duty. You are the light of the world, the Lord said. Set your city on a hill that it can be seen, the Lord said. For the church is not only a diffusion of light, but I'll tell you another thing. The church diffuses the light of the gospel, the message of the Lord, the doctrines of the gospel. Keeps them precious, keeps them sacred, keeps them from being polluted or defiled. There is no one of you. If you saw a virtuous woman about to be attacked by a known rapist, but would not go in and at least attempt to prevent it. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm afraid, has many standing in front of their audience Sunday after Sunday, inviting pollution to come in before they teach them to be a disciple of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I believe in people joining the church. But the church is a place for discipleship. Discipleship, not for members, but discipleship. Members are incidental. That has to take place, I guess, when you fellowship the church. But discipleship, learners, followers of the Lord, that's the place for them, because the doctrine cannot be understood nor practiced. The doctrines of the gospel cannot be understood nor practiced by those who do not have the mind of Christ. In fact, they're not his. And so, let's look again at John's sight here. I've got to get along. John saw the Lord's church as golden candlestick. Emphasize the word gold now with candlestick. So gold was, it was represented then as purity, you know, purity. The Lord's churches are the most pure thing you'll find on earth. All the members aren't. Don't get me wrong. But the Lord's church, the one he created, the one he organized, the one he put into action, is pure. And before it ceases to be pure, he'll come again. He'll come again. That's another sermon. Let's go hurriedly before that takes hold. All right. The church is not a worldly, polluted society, but a separate, holy, and peculiar people. In Deuteronomy 14:2, Israel was such. David spoke of it in Psalms 135, verse 4, as a peculiarity. Paul to Titus in 2:14, and Peter to the saints of God in 1 Peter 2:9. God had chosen for himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. That alone would make one peculiar, wouldn't
it? Amen.
Washed and sanctified and justified by the Spirit of the Word of God. Amen. John 15:3. Washed you through the Word. Titus 3:5. Washed by the way of regeneration, not of the works which we have done. Washed. David said one time, purge me with hyssop and wash me thoroughly and I'll be clean. The hyssop was a red part that caused water to turn red, symbolically used of the blood of the lamb that was to come and be slain, the Lamb of God. Gold represents the rarity of the church, not only the purity, but the rarity of the church. Gold is the most sacred of all metals, means scarce. That makes it sacred in many cases. But it means sacred, I mean scarce. When I wrote the word scarce here, I looked back down and I called it sacred two or three times. But it is. I had it on my mind. But it is sacred. But it's a scarce metal. Very scarce. And the church is like a small bush in the middle of a large forest. You have to know the characteristics before you can detect what kind of bush it is. used to go on reconnaissance with an old ranger from the state of Oregon. He was a lieutenant, and he was our liaison officer. I would go with him, and he went through the woods. He does name bush after bush, tree after tree. Oh, he really had the forestry down. He really knew it. And he could pick out some of the most peculiar sounding names to call those bushes that I've ever seen. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is in as a small bush in the forest of great trees, so to speak. Great churches. Where she has to wear a peculiar name. Very peculiar name. A little city in the world of extensive desert, dry places, a little city, bright shining in a world of dense darkness and wickedness. Christ called it in Luke 12 and 32 a little flock. A little flock. That means that the contrast to a big one, to a little flock. Very insignificant. She's a rare thing, a rare thing. He categorized the kingdom of heaven as a jewel or a pearl. And in Proverbs, the 31st chapter, a woman, a virtuous woman, is more precious than jewels, diamonds, more precious, the virtue of a woman. Think about the bride of Christ. Her virtue, how priceless she is. Well, gold is a very rare thing. And so let's look at this value that's placed upon it, because it is rare. Things get short, people place prices upon it. Price goes up. And so the church is Jehovah's treasure. His treasure. Jesus introduced this where he said, where your heart is or treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Amen.
Treasure the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's portion. It is God's place and temple, or palace and temple. It's God's delight. It's God's rest. Tabernacle was God's abode with man. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, lo, I am in the midst thereof also. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's his place. It's engraven on the palms of his hand. Engraven there. Old Tom died Christian one time in the name of Buddy. Said, I look at the Lord like this. He said, every night the Lord tucks me in to the hollow of his hand. He looks in there and he said, good night, buddy, and just closes me up. And I go on to sleep in peace. For the next morning, when I awake, the Lord opens it up and he peeps in there and says, good morning, buddy. Simple deduction, but written and engraven in the hollow of his hand. Oh, the prophet had a beautiful term there. Well, it's the walls. Ever before God. The church is ever before. The walls ever before. It's quite significant, the wailing wall of Jerusalem. The Jews had something on the wall. They go to the wailing wall and pray. It was done in the time of the Lord. The Pharisee and the publican was there praying, one to God, one about himself. But it keeps, the church is kept right in the very apple of his eye, the most tender place of complete scrutiny. The church is there in the very apple of his eye. It would denote cleaning occasionally. Gold is seen again because of its durability. As long as there's a piece of it, it's still able to be polished and shine.
Amen.
It just keep on shining. Just keep the brightness of it. A kingdom that shall never be moved. It shall never be raised, but shall appear in all the resplendent glory of holiness forever and forever. The clay, the brass, that John saw on the Lord's feet, all worldly association, the kingdom shall be thrown down and destroyed, but the golden kingdom of Christ is an everlasting kingdom. His spiritual reign shall never end, won't ever come to an end. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away, he said. And now the third way John saw the church, John saw seven golden candlesticks. Seven golden candlesticks. Emphasize now the word seven, representing seven churches of Asia, right soon to follow. They were in existence then, but a time period that was to cover the entire church age.
Amen.
And so, spiritually, the term may relate to the completeness of the church, as the number seven in Scripture indicates perfection. On the seventh day, God rested from his work, blessed and hallowed the day. The seventh year was a sabbatical year. Read also seven priests, seven trumpets, seven churches, seven seals, seven spirits, and seven angels. A greater servant, one may be, the more wicked he declares himself to be, and undone before God. Only the blood of Jesus Christ stands between him and hell. And so, this perfection isn't from a collective standpoint either. But it's the system of doctrine that the Lord instituted in his church for the servitude of the will of God, according to God's will, makes her a perfect organism. Very perfect. At the present, the Lord's churches are still being built or enlarged in body and so forth. But it may be said that Jesus is the church's perfection. Him in body, as head, as foundation. He is the Word of God. He makes the perfection of the church. Well, there's a lot more to that, but the last point, you were saved by the bell. John saw, emphasize the seeing now. John saw seven golden candlesticks. That's a big trick. Oh, it's a great gift if one can master it. The church is not concealed, not a concealed society, but it has a valuable appearance to the world. It's valuable to the heaven-born soul. Not all saved are in the church. Not all who are on church roll are saved, however. But she is precious to the one who has been born again. Very precious indeed. Having found the way of Zion, he becomes one of her holy inhabitants by choice, by desire, by warning, as a eunuch stated to Philip. But he said, I believe, before he said it, he heard the teachings of Philip concerning Isaiah 53, and he said, what is to prevent me from being baptized? He was the one doing the inquiry. He wanted to know what was to him. Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart Jesus is the Son of God, he said, I believe. They hollered, whoa, time to stop. And they went down in this square hole and got onto that half-inch pipe so that water ran out. the Philip was baptized. And then when it came up out of the water, the Spirit took Philip away. The eunuch went on rejoicing. He had volunteered fellowship. He volunteered. And this is a glorious part of the Lord's church, is that volitionary act. It is.
Amen.
The volitionary act on his own. The church is visible to the world. They hate it because they are condemned by it. Truth condemns error in any way. And because it proclaims war against all of the principles and the fashions of the world's society, including churches. The church is visible, and it's a sting to the malignancy of darkness and fallen spirits in the world. A malignancy. And the gates of hell are in unceasing hostility to her interest all the time, but can't do anything but lose or fail.
Amen.
Forever, all the battle, useless, church still gets along. It's visible to the Lord. His eyes and his heart, they perpetuate the church, knowing that he's ever with us, always, even unto the end of the world, declared in the commission. The church is visible to angels. Call in seven of them, take messages to the churches of Asia. They watch over it, minister to its inhabitants. I don't know how, but I find scriptures where they're around, you know, right around. Really don't care how. And they're ever encamped round about her. Ever round about her, somewhere. Where can I go to get away from the roving eye of the Lord? That was said by one who was seeking after God's own heart.
Amen.
But the church ceases to be the heart of God on earth. She'll look something different from a candlestick holding forth light and shining it in truth.